Take your Bibles, if you would, tonight, James chapter 5, James chapter 5, and I want you to keep your Bibles open because we'll be turning back to the book of 1 Kings look at that as well. This is the Wednesday night in the month of September. I told you I was going to take one Wednesday night a month and talk about prayer, and that's tonight. And by the way, let me just say, on Saturday night, whether you signed up to be a shepherd or not, if you can come, I'd like you to come. Come for dinner at 6, and then we'll be done by 8 o'clock. But I want you to be a part of what goes on Saturday night, if it's all possible, if you can. All right, James chapter 5, look down at verse 13, and we're going to read down through verse 18. The Bible says this, "Is any among you afflicted? Let him pray. Is any merry? Let him sing psalms. Is any sick among you? Let him call for the elders of the church and let them pray over him, anointing him with oil in the name of the Lord. And the prayer of faith shall save the sick, and the Lord shall raise him up. And if he hath committed sins, they shall be forgiven him. Confess your faults one to another and pray for one another that ye may be healed. The effectual, fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. Elijah, was a man subject to like passions as we are, and he prayed earnestly that it might not rain, and it rained not on the earth by the space of 3 years and 6 months. And he prayed again, and the heavens gave rain, and the earth brought forth her fruit." I want you to notice in verse 13, the first verse that we read, it says, "Is any among you afflicted? Let him pray." And I'll just remind you that many people in the Bible were afflicted. God allowed afflictions to come into their life so that they would be drawn closer to God and pray. In fact, if you just look up to verse 10 in that same chapter, it says, "Take, my brethren, the prophets who have spoken in the name of the Lord for an example of suffering, affliction, and of patience. Behold, we count them happy which endure. Ye have heard of the patience of Job, and have seen the end of the Lord, that the Lord is very pitiful and of tender mercy." And again, many people in the Bible, God brought into the brought under affliction so that they would be drawn closer to him and do exactly what this verse says. "Is any among you afflicted? Let him pray." And I'll just remind you tonight that God hasn't changed, that oftentimes he lets troubles or afflictions come into our life to draw us closer to him so that we will do the same thing, pray. It mentions there in verse 11, the patience of Job. And we all know the story of Job, how God took everything away from him and how throughout that trial, Job endured. If Job would have known how it was going to turn out, it might have been easier for him to endure. But he did not know what God was going to work at the end. And I'll just remind you of the end of the story, of the story of Job. God gave him twice as much as he had before he let Satan start working in his life. And Job was faithful and endured that affliction, that trial. And he said, "Though he slay me, yet will I trust him." And Job drew closer to God, even though he was an upright man and eschewed evil. In chapter 1, he drew closer to God. And he said in chapter 42, he says, I've heard other people talk about it, but now I've seen it with my eyes. And he said, "I bow in humility before you because you are God." And again, God lets affliction come into our life to draw us closer to him so that we will pray. And again, I just want you to notice as we read verses 14 through 16, how many times it talks about prayer. How many times it talks about going to God in prayer and asking. And then it says in verse 17, it talks about Elijah. Said he prayed, and by the way, he was somebody just like us, and he prayed earnestly that it might not rain, and it didn't rain for 3.5 years. And then he prayed again, and the heaven gave rain, and the earth brought forth her fruit. Now here's the little phrase I want you to remember when you go home tonight. It's those four words that start out verse 18. And he prayed again. And he prayed again. You say, I've been praying for something for a long time, and it just seems like God is not going to give me an answer. I would just remind you, pray again. Pray again. I've been praying about this thing that's in my life, or I've been praying about this thing that's in somebody else's life. And again, God hadn't given an answer. Pray again. Pray again. And I want to use Elijah tonight to remind us that we need to pray and how we need to pray. So take your Bibles, turn back to the Old Testament, 1 Kings chapter 18. 1 Kings chapter 18. Now, we're not going to read the whole chapter tonight. I'll just remind you in chapter 18 that Elijah had been hiding from King Ahab. And God came to him at the beginning of chapter 18 and said, hey, go show yourself to Ahab. Go meet up with him. And Elijah went to meet up with Ahab. This was the chapter where they called the prophets of Baal, 400 of them, 450 of them, and then the other prophets that led the people in false religion, 400 of them. So there were 850 of them all together, and they went up on Mount Carmel to have a contest. 850 prophets on one side, Elijah on the other one, and they were going to have a contest to prove to the people who was God. And Elijah said, let him that sends fire from heaven, let him be God. And so he told the prophets of Baal, you go ahead and build an altar, put an animal on it, and pray to your God that he would send fire from heaven. And again, we won't take the time to read it, but if you want to read it, it's in 1 Kings chapter 18, they did that. They built an altar, they killed an animal, they put that animal on the altar. They prayed and prayed and danced and danced. The Bible says they cut themselves with knives and did everything they knew to get Baal's attention to ask Baal to send fire from heaven. Of course, a false god, a god that's not a god, can't do that. And they spent the better part of the day asking Baal to send fire, and no fire came. Elijah built an altar, killed an animal, put an animal on it, said, hey, we're going to make this a little bit harder. Get three or four barrels of water, I can't remember, and pour it on the sacrifice, and do it again, and do it again. He soaked the sacrifice. He soaked the altar. He soaked the ground that was around the altar, and then he prayed, and fire came from heaven, consumed the sacrifice, consumed the altar, consumed the dust that was all around it. And Elijah led the people to kill all the prophets of Baal. So all that had happened in this chapter. Now look down at verse 41. Verse 41. And Elijah said unto Ahab, get thee up, eat and drink, for there is a sound of abundance of rain. Now again, it hadn't rained for 3.5 years. In fact, if you go back and read in the first part of chapter 18, Ahab and Obadiah, one of his servants, who was a good man, by the way, had gone out. They'd split up the land, and they were going through the land to see if they could find water to save some of the animals. I mean, it hadn't rained for 3.5 years. A terrible drought was in the land. And just as an aside, can you imagine what some of the people thought? It hadn't rained for 3.5 years. Water was scarce. And here's Elijah taking these barrels of water and pouring them on the sacrifice. And that's a study for another time. But Elijah said, hey, Ahab, you better go eat and drink because I hear rain. Now, it wasn't raining at that point. I mean, there wasn't a drop of rain that had fallen for 3.5 years. But Elijah said, I hear rain. I want to point out to you tonight that he heard it by faith. Because in chapter 18, verse 1, if you flip your page back there, it says in verse 1, and it came to pass after many days that the word of the Lord came to Elijah in the third year, saying, go show thyself unto Ahab, and I will send rain upon the earth. It hadn't come yet. Elijah was still going to have to pray again to pray down the rain from heaven, but he heard it raining. My brother and I used to sleep up in the attic of our house. It was finished, but we used to sleep up in the attic. And when you sleep up in the attic and it rains, you can hear it on the roof. You can hear it beating down on the roof. And I've always loved to be in places where I could hear rain on the roof. I don't know what Elijah heard. I don't know if he heard the lightning and the thunder, or saw the lightning and the thunder, or just heard hard rain pounding down, but he heard the rain that hadn't come yet. He heard it coming. And he said to Ahab, Ahab, you go ahead and eat. You go ahead and drink. And by the way, they'd been there most of the day. So they were probably, the people that were still alive, prophets of Baal were dead, but people were still alive, probably hungry. Ahab was hungry. Elijah was probably hungry. But, and we'll see in just a minute, Elijah was getting ready to go back on the top of the mountain and have another prayer meeting. But he says, Ahab, I know you're hungry. You go eat. I don't want you at my prayer meeting because you don't know how to pray. I don't want you messing around with what I'm about to do because you don't know how to do it. I got some serious praying to do, so you go satisfy the flesh, you go fill up your tummy, and I'm going to go up to the top of the mountain to pray. Here's one thing. When we pray, it is okay, and God is pleased when we remind him of the promises that he has made and in prayer claim those promises. Some people might say, well, why do I need to pray about it? God's promised to do it already. Well, when we pray, what we are showing to God is that we have faith in him, because when we go and claim the promise, we are saying, we know you are God and that you can keep your promise, and we are claiming that promise in prayer and want you to deliver on your promise. And that's exactly what Elijah was doing. God had told him it was going to rain. He was going to go back up to the mountain to pray for that rain, but he already heard it by faith. By faith, he heard it. We read in James that the prayer of faith pleases God. The prayer of faith pleases God. In Hebrews 11:6, it says this, "But without faith, it is impossible to please him. For he that cometh to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of them that do diligently seek him." That's what faith is. It's coming to God and say, I believe that you are who you are, and that you have the power and the ability to keep the promises that you've made in this book. And by faith. And by the way, it says over in the book of Romans, faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by what? Somebody tell me. The Word of God. So faith cometh by hearing. I hear the promises of God in this book. I by faith claim them. I come to God and say, you are God. I believe you are God. I believe you have the power to keep those promises. I claim the promise in prayer. And the Bible says, I please God, and that he is a rewarder of those that diligently seek him. And so as we pray, claim the promises of God. Again, don't think, well, God promised he's going to do it anyway. No, he wants to see our faith. That's how we please him. So, and again, Elijah said, hey, Ahab, you go eat. You need to take care of the things of the flesh. Because, again, Ahab was hungry. Well, Elijah was hungry. But sometimes the flesh needs to be put aside until faith is exercised. You can tell by looking at me, I don't miss many meals. And I like to eat. And I like to eat a lot of different things. But there are times when we need to put aside the desires of the flesh, and we need to put faith in front of it and exercise that faith and pray. And that's exactly what Elijah did. So here's, look at verse 42. So Ahab went up to eat and to drink, and Elijah went up to the top of Carmel. Again, the mountain where he just called down fire. And he cast himself down upon the earth and put his face between his knees. All right, so here's what I think he did. He got down on the earth. He put his face between his knees like this. He bowed in humility to God. He put himself in a position to pray. And here's what he said. And he's praying for rain. He's praying for rain. And he said to his servant, "Go up now, look toward the sea." And he went up and looked and said, "There is nothing." And he said, "Go again 7 times. So here's Elijah. He's on top of Mount Carmel where he called down fire from heaven. He's down on his knees with his face to the ground. He's praying for rain. And he calls his servant over and he says, "Hey, go and look toward the sea and see if there's a cloud in the sky. See if there's anything coming." And the servant comes back the first time. He says, "Master, there's nothing there. It's a clear day. There is no cloud." So Elijah puts his head back between his knees and prays again. "Lord, we need rain. You promised me rain. You told me if I went and showed myself to Ahab, you'd send rain. I did that. You need to make it rain." He said, call the servant over again, said, go look again. He comes back the second time. Nothing. Not a cloud in the sky. And I won't take you through all 7 times for sake of time tonight. 7 different times. Or 6 different times. He said, "Go look. Is anything coming? Is there a cloud at all?" And 6 of the times the servant came back and said, "There ain't nothing. The sky is clear. There's not even a little cloud." Elijah prayed the 7th time. And he said, "Go back again." And the servant came back and he says in verse 44, "And it came to pass at the 7th time that he said, 'Behold, there ariseth a little cloud out of the sea like a man's hand.'" This is how big it was. Just like this. Just like this. Just like a man's hand. A little cloud. Now, again, here's Elijah. He claimed the promise of God. "Hey, you go show yourself to Ahab. It's going to rain." He prays 7 times. And here he gets. He gets a cloud. And you know what? You know what his servant said? "Master, how much rain can come out of a cloud like this? I mean, just there can't be much rain in that. It can't be much rain in that cloud. It's no bigger than a man's hand." So here's what Elijah said. He said, "Go up, say unto Ahab, 'Hey, Ahab, you need to quit eating and drinking. You need to prepare your chariot and get thee down, that the rain stop thee not. Mount Carmel was about 26 miles from Jezreel. And they didn't have paved roads. They had dirt roads. And Elijah knew that when it started to rain, that Ahab was going to have trouble getting back to the palace because of all the mud that was going to be. Can you just see his faith? Here's a cloud about this big. And 26 miles back to the palace. I mean, if this cloud rained right here, how much area would it cover? Maybe a yard, maybe a couple yards. And Elijah said to his servant, "Go tell Ahab he better get started or the rain's going to stop him from getting home." Can you imagine what his servant said? "Oh, why am I delivering this message? How much rain can come out of this little cloud?" And it came to pass in the meanwhile, verse 45, that the heaven was black with clouds. Now just think about it. I think it happened in just a few minutes. Here comes this little cloud no bigger than a man's hand. The next time the servant looked, the heaven is black with clouds and wind, and there was a great rain. A great rain. That means there was a lot of rain. That means it was raining cats and dogs. That means every pothole between Mount Carmel and Jezreel was filled up with water. That means the whole road in that 26 miles was a muddy mess. Now, real quickly, I want you to notice 4 things. Number one, I want you to notice Elijah's persistence. He prayed once, nothing. Prayed twice, nothing. 3 times, nothing. 4 times, nothing. 5 times, nothing. 6 times, nothing. 7th time, a little cloud. Don't give up in your prayers. If God doesn't answer the first time, pray again. If he doesn't answer the 2nd time, pray again. If he doesn't answer the 7th time, pray again. Pray again. Pray again. Don't give up. Keep claiming the promise. Elijah did, and God sent a great rain. Now, I'm going to go back to James, where it says, the effectual, fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. I want you to know that Elijah knew how to pray. He was well practiced. I mean, just in chapter 17 and 18, we see four prayers that God answered. In chapter 17, the lady that he was staying with, her son died. Elijah prayed, and he came back to life. God brought him back to life, sent his soul back into his body. He prayed, and actually I'm getting them out of order, because first prayer he prayed was, don't let it rain. And for 3.5 years it didn't rain. He brought the son back to life. He prayed down fire from heaven, and then he prayed and it rained. He prayed again and it rained. We need to get into the practice of praying, seeing answers from God to our prayers, being encouraged and instructed by those answers, and praying again. We need to get into the cycle. I pray, I get an answer from God. When I get that answer from God, I'm encouraged to pray more. I get more answers from God. I'm encouraged to pray more. I get more answers from God. The reason many people don't pray is they've never got an answer to their prayer and don't think they're going to get one. And I just encourage you tonight, you pray. Pray for something. Pray for something specific. Ask God to do something. And as he answers that prayer, let your faith grow that says he is a God that can answer prayer. He is a God that can keep his promise. He is a God that will reward them that diligently seek him. So learn how to pray effectually. And then it says fervently. When Elijah got down on his knees and put his head between his knees and prayed, he was praying fervently. Most of us don't pray fervently until we get into trouble. I mean, we pray for our meals, we pray for different things, but we don't really pray fervently till somebody gets sick, till somebody is having an operation, till somebody has a real heartache. And then we learn how to pray fervently. We ought to pray that way all the time. Effectual, fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. And then I want you to notice one more thing. I know I'm out of time, but one more thing. I want you to notice that Elijah was very bold in his praying. He was bold. I mean, he didn't ask for little stuff. And again, I think he got to the point in his life where he prayed boldly because he lived a life of prayer where he asked for a lot of small things. But he prayed. He's staying with this lady, and her son dies. And Elijah prays, let his soul come back into him. He prays, let it not rain. And for 3.5 years it didn't rain. He goes to the mount, at the top of the mountain. Says, hey, we need fire from heaven, God, to prove that you're God. And fire comes from heaven. He prays again, and after a drought and no rain for 3.5 years, it rains. Those are not little things. Those are big things that Elijah prayed for. He prayed boldly because he knew he had a God that could answer bold prayers. You've heard me say before, I think we ought to pray for everything. I think you ought to pray for the little stuff, but I also think you ought to pray for the big stuff. Things that we don't see how God could do it. I mean, when Elijah went into that bedroom where the lady had laid her son on his bed, he went to God without any hesitation and said, Lord, I need you to bring this boy's soul back to him. I need you to give him back his life. That's a pretty bold prayer. I mean, to ask God not to let it rain is a pretty bold prayer. To ask God to send fire from heaven is a pretty bold prayer. And I would just encourage you tonight, pray about everything. Pray about the little stuff. But when the big stuff comes, be bold in our praying. And one more thing. We read it in that last verse of chapter 18 of 1 Kings. Or maybe we didn't read it. I'll just tell you. It says, the hand of the Lord came upon Elijah. He said, Ahab, you better get back to Jezreel because the rain's coming. So Ahab gets back in his chariot, you know, whips up the horses and starts on that 26-mile trek. It says, the hand of the Lord was on Elijah. He girded up his loins, pulled his robe up. And the Bible says he ran back to Jezreel 26 miles and beat Ahab there. He got there before the chariot got there. Now, here's what I was thinking. I know a lot of us, especially after Sunday and after a long week, we get tired. We get wore out. But if the hand of the Lord is upon us, that verse in Isaiah chapter 40 comes to mind. They that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. And again, waiting on the Lord is not sitting in a chair and say, okay, Lord, strengthen me. Waiting on the Lord is like being a servant and going out and doing what God tells us to do. That's how we renew our strength. Mount up as wings of eagles. Run and not be weary. Walk and faint not. And so, let's be persistent in our praying. Let's be effectual. Let's be fervent. Let's be bold. All right, let's stand, have a word of prayer. Thank you for being here tonight.